Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in one rule. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord.
Augustine is perhaps the most influential Christian thinker in the whole of history, outside the Bible, that is. His impact upon our world today can hardly be over-exaggerated. It wasn't just theology. His influence is felt in psychology and philosophy too. His thoughts shape the way that we think about ourselves today. Now, we're not going to be able to cover all of that. We're just going to consider what is perhaps his most important contribution to Christianity. Because he reclaimed the Bible's teaching about sin and grace at a time when the church was close to losing it. It came about through his debate with a guy called Pelagius, who was from Britain. He was probably a Scot, actually, although it doesn't sound very Scottish, does it? He turns up in Rome, and he is appalled at the behaviour of the Christians there, their ungodly behaviour. And he begins a campaign to clean up the church. But he does so with some strange theology. He believed that all human beings were born as sinless as Adam was before the fall. Adam's sin was just set a bad example, rather than spoiling the whole of human nature. So if judgment comes through copying Adam, well then salvation comes through copying Christ. For Pelagius, entry into heaven was possible by living your best life, a reward for those who had tried hard enough to copy Christ. He talked about God's grace. It's hard not to, if you read the New Testament. But he understood it as God's gift of free will to everyone, and God's gift of his law and the example of Christ to show us how we should live. Now, Pelagius's views have often been very attractive. His optimistic view of human nature. He defends our free will. It's no wonder he receives a good press if he's promoting a self-help theology. That's always going to go down well. Dig below the surface, and Pelagius's theology turns out to be stern and cold. He places a crushing weight of responsibility upon us, each of us, to achieve our own personal perfection. Well, Augustine's response was quite brilliant, not only for his grasp of biblical truth, but also the way that he expresses the warmth and the attraction of the Christian gospel compared to the cold severity of what Pelagius taught. He responded with a clear explanation of what the New Testament says about human nature, about sin, and about God's grace. Let's quickly look at each of them. First of all, human nature. Augustine taught that human nature is contaminated by sin as a result of Adam's disobedience. In other words, there is a flaw in human nature. It wasn't there when God created us. Genesis is quite clear that God created us well. But that flaw came through Adam's disobedience. So it wasn't God's fault. But as a result, human beings are not capable of doing what Pelagius said we ought to do. There is a bias towards sin and away from God in our human nature. We have an inbuilt tendency to sin. One of the analogies that Augustine used was of a pair of weighing scales. We human beings are like a set of scales where someone has attached a lead weight on the side of evil. The scales still work, but are severely biased in that direction. Well, so it is with human nature. We can still make decisions, but there is a serious bias towards sin. Isn't that our experience? We've all had the experience of knowing what we ought to do and yet not being willing to do it. We are not the potentially sinless people Pelagius said we were. Well, that leads us on to what Augustine taught about sin. Sin contaminates our lives from birth and dominates our lives from then on. Augustine coined the term original sin to refer to that inbuilt human problem. For Augustine, it's that sinful condition which causes us to causes acts of sin. We might say that sin leads to sins. So in contrast to what Pelagius taught, we need more than the teaching of God's law or the example of Christ. We need a completely fresh start. We need to be born again to have a relationship with God. Augustine said, and this is in the letter of Romans, that God's law is able to tell us what we ought to do, but it is powerless to help us do it. That's reflected in the famous story about a visitor to a European monastery. The visitor was shown to his room by the monks. They told him that he could do anything he liked, provided that he didn't look out of one particular window that was high up on the wall, above eye level. Well, eventually, he was unable to control his curiosity. He stood on a chair and was able to reach up and look through the forbidden window, only to find the monks gathered on the other side, waiting for the inevitable. They always look, they said, as they ran off laughing. Sin holds us captive. Left to ourselves, we cannot break free from the power of sin. We're unequal to the struggle. We just get more and more stuck in sin. Maybe proud, self-righteous sin, but it's still sin. You ever seen the truck stuck in a muddy field? The more the driver accelerates, the more deeply it gets stuck. All the effort which is meant to get the truck out of the mud just makes the hole deeper. What is needed is somebody from outside of the situation who isn't trapped in the mud to come and get us out. Pelagius said, we're free. Augustine said, we're not free. He argues that sin traps us within the natural world. So we have freedom to make choices at that level, everyday life sort of choices. But sin prevents us from responding to God, prevents us from turning to God. And that leads us on to Augustine's understanding of God's grace. He said God's grace is to be understood as the liberator of human nature. It's like that breakdown truck which arrives to pull someone out of the mud. It is God who act out of his grace enables us to break free from the limitations of our sinful condition and so be able to respond to God's call. We are blind to God, and our eyes must be opened by God, acting in grace. We are deaf to God's word, and our ears must be opened in the same way. So Augustine says, God's grace does not abolish human free will. It doesn't override human choice. Rather, it enables it. God, by his Holy Spirit, creates that willingness to follow Jesus. God takes the unwilling and makes them willing. So God's grace is not just natural free will, as Pelagius said. It's not just the gift of God's law or the example of Jesus. It's the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit who creates an obedient will within the rebellious sinner. One of Augustine's favorite texts was Jesus saying, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Let me just read a bit of Augustine himself. Here is his here is his commentary on John chapter 15, verse 16. "You did not choose me," Christ says, "but I chose you. Such grace is beyond description. What were we apart from Christ's choice of us when we were empty of love? What were we but sinful and lost? We did not lead him to choose us by believing in him. For if Christ chose people who had already believed, then we choose him before he chose us. How then could he say, 'You did not choose me,' unless his mercy came before our faith? Here is the faulty reasoning of those who say that God chose us before the creation of the world, not in order to make us good, but because he foreknew that we would be good. This is not the view of him who said, 'You did not choose me.' We were not chosen because of our goodness, for we could not be good without being chosen. Grace is no longer grace if human goodness comes first. Listen, you ungrateful person, listen. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Do not say, 'I am chosen because I first believed.' If you first believed, you've already chosen him. But listen. You did not choose me. And do not say, 'Before good work can come, sorry, before I believed, I was already chosen on account of my good works.' What good work can come before faith? When the Apostle Paul says, 'Whatever is not from faith is sin.' What then shall we say when we hear these words, 'You did not choose me'? We shall say this: we were evil, and we were chosen that we might become good by the grace of him who chose us. For salvation is not by grace if our goodness comes first, but it is by grace. And therefore God's grace did not find us good, but makes us good." There's a little flavor of Augustine himself. Now, Augustine didn't get everything right, as others later came to see. He understood that great Bible word justification as being made righteous by God. God putting love for him into our hearts. But look closely in the letter of Romans, and the Apostle Paul is not talking about a change in us when he talks about being justified. Rather, it is God's declaration about us that he now declares people to be righteous, independent of the state of our hearts. Yes, God's work of heart change will follow, but when we turn to Christ, we are already declared righteous in the mind of God. Well, I hope you've begun to feel the warmth and the comfort of Augustine's gospel, which was by and large the recovery of the gospel of the New Testament. Pelagius believed that living according to God's law was what was required for salvation. Augustine saw that if that was so, then Pelagius wasn't actually loving God at all. Rather, he loved himself. He was using God to escape hell and to earn heaven for himself. He was loving self, not God. By contrast, it's God's undeserved love for us, which has broken into Augustine's own life, as we heard, which sets our hearts free to love him in return. It's that love that is the all-pervasive tone of Augustine's writings. That love, which broke into his life and then thrilled his heart and shaped his thinking. Let's pray. Here's a prayer from Augustine. Eternal God, who is the light of the minds that know you, and the joy of the hearts that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you, grant us so to know you that we may truly love you, and so to love you that we may fully serve you, whom to serve is perfect freedom. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.